The following programming is sponsored by Carol Captus Holloway. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
I'm super excited because you know I'm a three-season gal and winter is not one of them. Thank you for listening today to Tell Me More with Carol Holloway. We are live right here at WWDB. We are on the radio at 860 AM, on the podcast right here on the website, which you can look at later on down the road if you miss any part of the show. We are live on Odyssey, and you can also send me text messages through Tell Me More at Instagram and Facebook. And occasionally, we are live on Facebook, which I'm hoping we'll have that coming up in the next up and coming weeks. So are you ready for the holidays? I mean, here we are, spring. Easter is like the end of this week. Are your kids are going to be out of school for a week, maybe longer? Are you planning time to get away? Do you need more sleep? Do you want to watch the sky with the eclipse that's coming up in 2 weeks? What's on your agenda? Well, we're going to have a little fun today talking about places to get away to sleep. Actually, there's a new thing now called sleepcations. Yes, absolutely. I cannot believe that we have them. And joining us in just a little bit will be Dr. Robbins, and she will be joining us, Dr. Rebecca Robbins. She will be joining us from, believe it or not, Rochester, New York, which is actually one of the best places to see the eclipse. And the good thing about that is she is an assistant professor in medicine at Harvard Medical School. So we're going to talk a little bit about sleep. At the end of our show, I mean, come on, we couldn't talk about eggs and moving the eggs from the basket to your table, right? So at the end of the show, we're going to have a wonderful Emmy-nominated Mexican. I guess we would call her a chef. Yes, absolutely. She's a James Beard award-winning chef. Patty Janich will be joining us to talk a little bit about how we can make those eggs go a little bit further than just the hard-boiled kind that we put out in our baskets at Easter. And then to start off our interview, I think the best thing would be to talk about sleep a little bit. I think I got my names mixed up. Let's see. We got our sleep coming up. Yes. With Dr. Robbins. And then we have our total eclipse in Rochester, New York. And we're going to have some awesome people joining us there. Hillary Olson, who is the president and CEO of the Rochester Museum and Science Center. And Deborah Ross, who is the co-chair of the Rochester Eclipse Task Force. Can't wait to find out more about what that is. So to kick off the show, I think it's really going to be a lot of fun to talk about like getting away. Do you feel like you need a break? Do you feel like it's time to start to plan your vacations? I know we talked about this a little bit ago, about vacations and all of those different things that are going on. But I think, I know for me, I don't seem to be getting enough sleep. I never seem to get enough sleep. And did you know that the National Sleep Foundation Awareness Week was actually 2 weeks ago at the start of daylight saving times, which really affects our biological clocks? And it's interesting because I mentioned this on a show not too long ago, that the government is still trying to decide whether we make daylight savings time a permanent thing or we go back to the old way of our clocks with, you know, where it gets dark at like 4 and 5 o'clock. I like it when it's light till 7, 8 o'clock at night, sometimes 9 o'clock. That makes me happier. I feel like I can get so much more done when I do that. But when I found out there was such a thing as sleepcations now, and that sleep experts tell us that we should really prioritize our wellness and our rest, whether we're home or whether we're traveling. And then I found out that joining us today will be our wonderful guest who is coming up, Dr. Rebecca Robbins, and she's actually in Hawaii right now. I cannot believe it. But she's jumping in to join us in just a couple minutes to talk about how is your body adjusting to the fact that we changed our clocks a couple weeks ago? And what is it that people are trying to do to rest and recharge this year? So we have a Dr. Rebecca Robbins on the line. And as I said, she is an assistant professor in medicine at Harvard Medical School and an associate sleep scientist at Brigham and Women's Hospital and an expert in the science of sleep. She's ready to help us all learn about how we can prepare ourselves for restful nights of sleep wherever we are and wherever we stay. I know when I go on vacation, that first night of sleep is, I don't care how comfortable the bed is, unless I am totally exhausted from a day of hiking or something, I don't fall asleep that easily. So she is on the line ready to join us, and I just want to welcome her to the show so she can tell us more.
Hi, Dr. Robbins. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Good. I hope you had a good night's sleep.
Thank you. Likewise. But if not, we're here to talk about it.
Exactly. So why do so many people struggle with sleep issues, you know, whether it's falling asleep or staying asleep or just getting enough sleep at home or on the road?
You know, we really have a sleep deprivation crisis in a lot of ways in our country. About 1 in 3 adults report struggling with sleep on any given night. That could include difficulties falling asleep or maintaining sleep. We also see that fewer than 3 in 10 adults report waking and feeling restored by their sleep. So we certainly have a problem in our country, and I think it's the contributing forces to that are manyfold. It's, you know, our always-on culture, social media, screens, kind of, you know, the events in our world right now all loom large for our ability to fall asleep and get the deep restorative sleep, whether we're at home and then when we're traveling. That's a whole different can of worms because you're in a new environment, our brains struggle to relax and unwind, and then we may also be in a place that's mismatched, the timing, with our internal biological clock. So some challenges to sleep there too.
So many challenges and so many issues. Has this always been an issue, or is it more so today in a more toxic environment, as I see it, as compared to maybe, you know, 30 years ago?
There are so many sleep disruptors now that I think present a really compelling challenge when it comes to our sleep that is relatively new. The incredible, you know, social media platforms, they're always on. They're, you know, bright, beautiful pictures and videos. Video gaming is also popular. And then there's just the fact that our work schedules seem to kind of creep later and longer into the wee hours of the night, and to-do lists are running. This trend towards poor sleep health as a country began in the 1980s and unfortunately has just simply declined from there. And I'll couple that, you know, lastly with, I think, an idea that we'd sacrifice sleep in our society in order to succeed. In America, mm-hmm. in particular, and I think it's time to do away with that notion, because all of the research points to just how important sleep is for our creativity, our memory, our productivity, so many aspects of our waking lives.
Now, I have so many questions about sleep, but one has really come to the forefront with me. I heard of something called sleep tourism trend. Why? What is it, and why do our listeners want to know about it?
I love this. It's a new trend we're seeing really explode. And according to a Hilton Trends report, being able to rest and recharge is the number one reason guests are booking trips this year, which is remarkable when you think about it. So I think it's in many ways in response to the fact that we are really, as a nation, struggling, and we are really searching for ways to recharge, to, you know, rejuvenate ourselves and kind of recoup some of the sleep loss that we may be experiencing due to any number of reasons. And that this trend is kind of manifested in a couple different ways. Hotels are increasingly drawing more attention to the guest sleep experience and response. And Hilton's a kind of pioneer on this front. We are excited to announce that we're launching a sleep retreat in response to this new trend. So here at the Grand Wailea in Maui, we're designing a sleep retreat where guests can sit in on lectures with me on sleep science and circadian rhythms and enjoy the sleep promoting spa services here at the property, and really return home recharged and restored is the goal.
But once you get home, you lose all those wonderful amenities of being relaxed and in a beautiful place like Hawaii.
Totally. But I think one of the things that's so important for all of us is really visualizations before bedtime, because look, life can get stressful and busy, and using vacation as an opportunity to create memories that you can kind of call back up when you need them and when you need to combat stress. And coupling that, you know, in your bedtime routine, imagining in your mind's eye the, you know, beautiful beach in Maui or your last trip. And I think that that could kind of be a little way that we can take vacation with us and actually into our nightly sleep routine.
Okay, so we just recently had daylight savings time. It doesn't seem like a big deal, an hour. I would love it to stay this way all year round. But how much does that affect us?
Believe it or not, that 1 hour makes a big difference. And it all has to do with our internal biological clock. That system cannot move on a dime. So really, 1 hour or more wreaks havoc on that internal circuitry that governs our fundamental ability to fall asleep and wake up and be alert and wide awake. So with this one change this week, keep a couple things in mind. Number one, be compassionate with yourself. If you're finding that you're struggling, you know, the clock reads what should be your bedtime and you're just not tired, take it in stride and think about what time it is in your biological clock and start to move that time 15 minutes. Just start the process to bed 15 minutes earlier each night until you start to hit that target fall asleep time. Really emphasizing those wind down rituals. That's a set of routines that you can practice night in and night out. It doesn't have to be incredibly protracted, but if it's a couple pages in a book, a warm shower, a short breathing exercise, a visualization exercise, all of those things are so important because we can't just fall asleep on, you know, flip a switch and we're out. But the process to fall asleep is actually really a process, and we have to treat it that way and set ourselves up for success with some of these strategies. Also, use natural sunlight to your advantage. So this week, get out ideally as soon as you wake up into the morning sunlight. That will give your brain a cue that this is your new target wake-up time and help you shift a little bit faster. And then if you're experiencing any insomnia-like symptoms, say you struggle to fall asleep or struggle to get back to sleep if you wake up, go back to that playlist, those wind-down rituals that soothe you. Keep the lights low and come back to bed when you are tired. It is a myth that staying in bed will get you some sleep. Wrong. That will only start to condition yourself to look at bed as a stressful place. And so trying to undo that and really make sure that we're resting and sleeping in bed.
So a lot of people think or they'll say, and I've heard people say this, oh, I sleep so soundly, I sleep like a log. But you know they're not, because you see them waking up, you see them tossing and turning or snoring. You know, maybe it's our spouse, our partner, our children, parents, whatever. How does somebody actually know that they're not functioning properly when they think they are?
This is a great question, and sleep really is in the eye of the beholder. So you really are a really good judge when you wake up of how well rested you are. If you tell me, you know, I slept great, I feel great, that's one of the most important barometers of how good your sleep was. There is also an explosion in interest in commercially available sleep trackers, which I love. It's kind of taking my laboratory out into the community. So I think those are good resources if you're interested in learning more about your sleep, how much you're actually sleeping. And that's actually beneficial because sometimes people will say, oh, I get 8 hours of sleep. And then when we break it down, I find out that maybe they're giving themselves an 8 hour opportunity, but that means they're starting their bedtime routine. And then, you know, they're not falling asleep until maybe 45 minutes or an hour later. So they're getting closer to 7 or 6.5 hours. So some of those devices can provide some of those kind of aha moments of how I might implement some small changes to improve my overall sleep. But one of your other comments about people that say, you know, oh, I sleep like a log, or oh, I'm, you know, a light sleeper. I also do, you know, giggle a little bit, because even someone who swears up and down that they don't move a muscle and they sleep like a log are amazed when, if we ever do video in sleep recordings, the average sleeper moves about 80 times, not significantly, but they're moving in and out of their personal sleep position many times over the course of the night. So some of those are really expressions that don't often have a lot of science to back them up.
Right. Absolutely. So what about our people that say, you know, oh, this new sleep tourism study, you know, the trend sounds really great. I think I'm going to take a trip to Hawaii. We were planning one anyway. We're going to get rested and relaxed. But you know what? You get jet lag. How do you combat that?
Jet lag is tough. We have no cure for this. And the challenge really is because your internal biological clock is back home while you've jetted into a new time zone. So keep in mind that your challenges are going to be biological in nature, and shifting this internal system does take time. Ideally, prepare in the couple days leading up to your trip. Move your bedtimes 15 minutes in the direction of your target new time at your new destination. And then hop on the plane and start to live on that new destination. Turn your wristwatch, turn your smartphone to the new destination. And if a meal is being served, for instance, you can, you know, decline that meal if you've had an earlier, hopefully, dinner. And that'll allow you to hopefully get a little sleep, or, you know, really start to live and sleep and do everything on that new time zone. Then when you land at your destination, a couple things to help you shift. Number one, natural light exposure. When the sunrise, during sunrise, get outside. Ideally couple that with maybe a little exercise, going for a run, going for a walk. That exercise coupled with natural light exposure can really help you change faster. Number two, at your destination, resist the temptation to have a decadent dinner. Big heavy meals close to bedtime limit all of our ability to sleep, but then couple that with jet lag and circadian disruption can be a particular challenge. So keep dinner light. I like to say have a breakfast of kings, a lunch of princes, and a dinner of paupers. And so really indulge, you know, have a glass of wine at lunch, have that heavy dessert, and then keep dinner on the lighter side to support your optimal sleep success. And lastly, if you're struggling, get out of your room, get out of your bed, keep the lights low, and do something soothing. So come back to that playlist of things that calm you before bedtime. If that's a meditation exercise, however short, closing the eyes, focusing on the breath can really do all of us a world of good, but especially those that are combating jet lag.
Wow. Dr. Robbins, I could spend the whole hour talking to you, but I know you're busy trying to get everybody to learn how to get proper
sleep.
So in the meantime, for anybody that wants to know more about this, about the studies, about, you know, these wonderful sleep tourism trends, where can we go for more information?
Well, these tips and information about the sleep retreats will be on the Grand Wailea website at grandwailea.com. So head there for more information.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Please come back anytime.
Oh, I would love that. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
We'll continue to discuss. Bye-bye.
So it was exciting to be able to talk to her because I know so many of us are sleep deprived. She actually has a voice that I think could put you to sleep. For the average 9-to-5 person, the purpose of this like spring summer getaway is to relieve stress and come back feeling refreshed. And according to the Hilton's 2024 Travel Trends Report, the number one reason people want to travel this year is to rest and recharge. And she joined us from the Grand Wailea Maui Astoria Resort Kealana Spa, and if we had television, you would have seen where she was. Amazing place. But we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about sleeping and some of the top-rated sleep destination vacations. You're listening to Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, and we'll be right back.
Hello, this is Erin, and I have a very important message. If you or a loved one is suffering with any sort of crisis, there is no need to do it alone. Dial the 988 Suicide and Crisis Hotline, where trained professionals will handle your case and get you the help you need any day, anytime. All reports are fully confidential. Dial 988, and a responder will do everything they can to assist you. Remember, if you see something, say something. You may just be saving someone's life. Remember, 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Hotline.
Hi, this is Carol Holloway from Home Improvement Fix and Facts. Listen to me live every Tuesday morning from 8 to 9 right here at WWDB. And if you can't listen live, make sure you go to WWDBAM.com and listen to my podcast. Each week, we will give you great ideas on how to fix your home and some facts on how to put it all together. In the middle of our streets, our house.
Singing. I thought that was a great song because, you know, we're getting up early, rushing to work, trying to get our kids off to school. And now that spring break is here and summer is right around the corner, are you looking to get more sleep and take a stay sleepcation? Either way, you can go a staycation and get plenty of sleep, or a vacation, which is now known as a sleepcation. And if you missed any of that podcast or any part of that interview, go back and listen to it, because there was some great, there's great information in there. Sleep deficiency is linked to so many chronic sleep problems, including heart disease, kidney disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, stroke, obesity, and depression. And I've often heard that, you know, if you get a good night's sleep all the time, you won't be as obese, you'll lose weight, you'll feel better. That's why so many people have sleep apnea machines. But sleep deficiency is also linked to a higher chance of injury for just not adults, but children and teens, whether at work or play. So it's really important that you do get enough sleep. And a third of Americans are sleep deprived. That's according to the Center for Disease Control study. And millennials are reportedly losing more sleep than anyone. Healthline states skimping on the recommended 7 to 9 hours. They say that it can lead to, including the things that I said, memory loss, moodiness, a weakened immune system, okay, obesity because you're overeating, all of those different things that you're dealing with when you're supposed to be like on a vacation, sightseeing and like having drinks and having fun with the kids. So you go back and listen to some of the tips that Dr. Robbins gave us for being able to sleep better on vacation. But before we went to break, I told you that there were a couple great places besides the one in Hawaii that we talked about where she was coming from. There are a couple great places. Now, number one on the list was the Clearwater Beach, Florida Sand Pearl Resort. Now, right now, it's spring break and everybody's moving around from different places, you know, all the kids that are on that spring break that they always go to Florida for. So I'd be a little skeptical about going there this time of year. But the Coastal Oasis is on the Gulf of Mexico, and it has special spa packages for sleepyheads with that. They call it nap therapy. So that's a good one for you. Westin hotels are spending a lot of time making what they call sleep well packages that are available in 30 states, including Canada, the Virgin Islands, and even Guam. And with these packages, you can spend like the whole weekend on a sleep retreat if you want. And it has complimentary stress relieving lavender balm and spa credits and all kinds of special things to make it easier including like a menu that has oatmeal tabbouleh and poached eggs and all kinds of other things that they consider to be good bedtime snacks, along with calming teas. Now, another great place, I love California, Carmel, California, or Carmel, however you say it, is the Carmel Valley Ranch. And they're doing some great massage sleep therapies for chronic insomniacs. They're saying this is like the perfect place to go for what they call hypnosis to get you to sleep. They have what they call a hypno health and wellness package, and it's intended to reduce stress and promote a deeper, sounder sleep. I told you we would have fun on the show today. Another great place is in Washington State at Olympic National Park. It's called One Square Inch of Silence. That's what they're calling it. It is the best. This is what they say. It is the best place you've ever gotten to surround yourself by nature. And you can pitch your tent, yes, in one of the quietest places in the United States, Ho Rain Forest, or Hall, H-O-H, Rainforest, located in Washington's Olympic National Park. And they say it's somewhat of a silent sanctuary. One Square Inch of Silence is a haven for light sleepers, offering the least amount of noise pollution in the lower 48% score. So that it's really hard to find complete quietness without sound of jets going overhead or airplanes or traffic and highways. So here's a really great place. They say to save a penny and let the surrounding lakes, streams, and therapeutic wildness sounds lull you to sleep. Now, if you're here on the East Coast and you don't want to go that far, you can go to Manhattan, New York. Now, I cannot see that being a sleep place, but the Benjamin in New York City offers what they call a rest and renew program that includes a pillow menu. Yes, I'm telling you, listeners, I come up with the craziest stuff here. They have a pillow menu where you can select it includes a pillow menu with Swedish memory foam, 5-foot body pillows, water-filled pillows, and 7 other types of pillows that you can choose from. They give you noise machines, blackout curtains, triple pane windows to block out the buzz of the traffic in their area, and around-the-clock sleep team. That's what they say. This is something, and I forgot to ask her about it. I had it in my notes. This is something that sleep expert Dr. Rebecca Robbins, who we just spoke to, created for the Benjamin's rooms. And as I quote it, it says, to align with what we know to be effective for optimal sleeping environments. That's what she told the subscription Well and Good. Rest assured that you won't find a lot of guests with puffy eyes checking out from this Midtown East refuge. So she was actually instrumental in putting their Rest and Renew program together. Now, if you do want to head back out west, you can always go out to Arizona, another beautiful place, to Tucson, Arizona, to Canyon Ranch. And here they think that tarot reading cards and crystal healing therapy is the way to go. And they say a licensed therapist is on call to help guests improve their sleep hygiene. And the hotel's what they call sleep enhancement experience entails a 50-minute consultation with an expert to assess sleep problems and determine remedies. And like I said, that could even be something as wonderful as tea. So it's amazing how our minds change as we go through the years. You know, it was staycations. Now it's sleepcations. Who knows what we're going to have next year? It's going to be get out of the country vacations, I think, to get away from all the chaos of a new election. So I thought that was a lot of fun. Now, because I titled the show Time to Get Away, More Sleep or Watch the Sky, I want to share with everybody, come on, you all know what's coming up. You all know that we have a huge total solar eclipse coming up, right? If you didn't know, you should know. And it's time to celebrate. This is rare, this total solar eclipse, because it won't happen again for quite some time. And I can't wait to find out when it is. So April 8th. Yes, April 8th is our, let me look at my calendar real quick here. That's 2 weeks from now. That is on a Monday. I know so many people that are planning to get away and do this total eclipse vacation. And it was really interesting because I had my friends out in Rochester, New York, reach out to me, and they wanted to talk about the fact that, you know, part of the country will go into total darkness on April 8th, starting, I believe it's down in Mexico. And I've tracked the maps. I've been looking at it. We were going to go away for that weekend, but some unexpected developments came up that are going to keep us here, but we're still going to try to see what we can see. But there, Rochester is hosting this big thing for people. And I want to find out more about what this big thing is that they're doing. And so joining us are Deborah Ross. She is the founder and publisher of the community website, Kids Out and About. And that's for parents who want to know what's happening locally for families and beyond the nest. And that's for older adults who want to learn more about what's happening locally about art and culture and recreation events. And the they're saying that they started this Rochester destination place 23 years ago, and it now serves 52 regions in the United States and Canada with 15 million visitors a year. So this is another place to go, not necessarily to sleep unless you're going to be camping out. And then the other person that'll be joining us is Hillary Olson, and she is the president and CEO of the Rochester Museum and Science Center. And for 24 years of her life, she has been working at the science museums and informal learning institutions across the United States. And she said, which I thought was really fun, because I get to talk to some of these people a little bit beforehand. When she was 11 years old, her elementary school took a class trip to Hanstrom-Berg Planetarium. And she said that trip changed her life. And it put her onto this completely different lifeline of just, she couldn't stop thinking about the size and the scale of the solar system and the Milky Way and the universe. So she went on to earn a degree in space sciences and spent each day since that field trip thinking about it. And now she's doing it. So I thought it was really interesting that she is the president and CEO of Rochester's Museum and Science Center. So you never know when you're going to be impressed by a teacher, by a mentor. You know, she at 11 years old, and now she's doing this for a living. So I'm excited to bring these ladies on board and give them a big warm welcome. I think they're ready to join us now. Let me check.
Yes, yep. April 8th, huge solar eclipse coming up. Do I have that right?
Yes, you sure do.
What's the best place to see it here in the United States?
The best place to see it is Rochester, New York. The eclipse, the path of totality for the eclipse is going anywhere in the United States from Dallas, Texas, all the way up through northern Maine and northern Vermont. But absolutely, the best place to see it is from the path of totality. And Rochester, New York is preparing in amazing ways to greet a lot of people to see this amazing event.
So before we start talking about what they're doing to prepare, let's explain to our listeners, either one of you, what exactly is a total solar eclipse?
Sure. A solar eclipse happens when the moon comes in between the sun and the earth. And from the perspective of a very thin path on the earth, the sun looks covered. A total solar eclipse is when the sun, moon, and earth line up so perfectly that the disk of the moon covers the disk of the sun, and it literally gets dark if you're in that path, and that's called the path of totality. And Rochester, New York is right in the middle of that path.
Oh, nice. So what makes this different than the eclipse that was in 2017 when everybody was outside looking up at the sky?
There are a couple of different things. One is the path of the shadow itself. So that eclipse started in the Pacific Northwest in Oregon, and it arced through the center of the country and went down out of our country through South Carolina. This eclipse starts in Mazatlan, Mexico, and comes up through Texas in the middle of the country, tapping Western New York, the top of Vermont, New Hampshire, and out through Maine. So it doesn't actually hit the East Coast of the U.S., and we are the easternmost major city in the path. So that is why we have been preparing for an influx of visitors from the Philadelphia area for the last 7 years. We have so much, not just for those 3 minutes and 38 seconds, but for the entire weekend. That's what preparing for 7 years will do for you.
Well, for people that want to, like, this is great because I know so many people that follow this and travel and go to see eclipses and stars and all that good stuff. So tell me, with Rochester Celebrating, they host a 3-day Rock the Eclipse Festival. What is that?
Yes. So that's at the Rochester Museum and Science Center and the Strasbourg Planetarium. That's a 3-day festival celebrating science, eclipses, and the community coming together to experience that. So there will be science activities, there will be food and drink, there will be speakers and all kinds of things celebrating science in a real festival atmosphere in leading right up into the April 8th total solar eclipse. And that Monday we will be outside, we will have telescopes, we will have solar viewing glasses, and it's going to be a huge, huge event. Rochester also has a lot of other things going on as well.
Yeah, so you want to make sure to put the Rock the Eclipse Festival on your itinerary, but that's far from the only thing. We have throughout our 5-county region, we have scattered all kinds of events. If you love history, fantastic. We've got many different ways, like the Genesee Country Village, our 19th century village. They're having a solar spectacle festival where you can experience what eclipses would have been like in the 19th century and all that technology that they had then. You can go to the George Eastman Museum. We are the home of optics and photonics and see the history of film and photography and eclipses. If you're into baseball, well, the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs will be playing the Rochester Red Wings for opening weekend. And in fact, they're transforming. The Red Wings are going to become the Moon Rocks, and the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs will become the Space Pigs. And so the Phillies farm team will be playing the Nationals farm team, and we'll have to see which one eclipses the other. There are endless activities through the whole weekend.
It sounds like it. But I heard one of you say solar view glasses.
Yeah.
Why do we need them?
Anytime you want to look at the sun, you need protection for your eyes. And there are no sunglasses or anything that you probably already have that will protect you unless you have solar viewing glasses. So most of the science centers and lots of other distributors in your area and all across the country are selling those solar viewing glasses. Just make sure they're safe, but they are for looking at the sun at any time. And the only reason that we sell them for eclipses is because that's when people are actually interested in staring at the sun. So,
of course. So the toilet paper tube with the tin foil at the end and the pinhole is not the appropriate way to look at it. Did I lose you guys? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Oh, there we are. I thought I lost it for a minute. Okay. It's not the proper way to look at it with the toilet paper tissue.
No, you can use that toilet paper tube or even a 3x5 card with a hole punched in it or a spaghetti strainer to project the shadow of the eclipse onto a flat surface, a white surface typically on the ground, and be able to see it that way, but never, never, never look directly at the sun without proper eye protection.
Right. And everybody in North America will experience at least a partial eclipse. So everybody in North America should go out and get their glasses. You will only see totality and be able to take your glasses off if you are in that narrow band about 100 miles wide, which Rochester, of course, is. And that's why we want to welcome people here, because totality, there's 99% is not totality. You need to get into the path to have that once in a lifetime kind of connection between you and the universe that you can't have any other way on earth.
Okay, so Deborah and Hillary, before you guys connected with me, I was telling our listeners your backgrounds, but how did you two end up connecting together for this event?
It's actually a story. We met in Missouri, believe it or not, the day before the 2017 eclipse. Hillary was bringing a group down from Milwaukee, busloads of people to see the eclipse in Missouri. And I was on a journey with my 16-year-old daughter, who insisted that we travel hundreds of miles into the path to experience it. Now, I was a skeptic going in, but happy to go along. Hillary was already a convert. But we met at the St. Louis Science Center the day before it just happened, and we became friends. And then a year later, Hillary was hired at the Rochester Museum and Science Center as our CEO here. So it was just an amazing cosmic coincidence. We became friends under an eclipse and now have been working on this since she got here in 2018 together.
Meant to be.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. And I know you have a lot of time, but I have a silly question for you. You know, people that follow astronomy and astrology say when the planets align and the sun and the eclipse and the moon and the stars. Do you ladies think there's any truth to any of that?
As a scientist, astronomy is science. Astrology is a belief system. But, you know, sun, moon, and earth are lining up for this eclipse, and it's going to be pretty spectacular wherever you are. Yeah. So there's something to be said for that.
It is a spiritual experience, however you define your connection to the universe. And so as I was in that path, I kind of experienced the universe with my whole body. Everybody coming out of this will have their own story, and we can't wait to hear all the stories that are told out of Rochester.
I just had to ask that question because we had to clarify the difference. And we, you know, people say that, you know, people get weird.
and honestly, during that totality, people do get weird. Your body knows that something is wrong. It's not something that you've experienced enough that it feels right. To have a sunset, a 360-degree sunset in the middle of the day. So there is something to be said for it's weird. Yeah. Everything is weird, and that it is so incredibly awesome and weird simultaneously, and that's part of it.
Oh my gosh, I love that I have you two here to talk about this. We could probably talk about so much more, but I've connected
you need
to the
here,
link.
Though. Be in totality with us.
You know what? My husband and I were planning a motorcycle trip for his birthday. I think we can push it back a week.
Definitely. Oh, we know how to treat visitors here in Rochester. So you need to go to visit Rochester.
We were coming to New York.
Yes.
Good.
So this is way too weird. Listeners, you'll find us on a motorcycle going up to New York to meet Deborah and Hillary. Where can our listeners go to get more information about the eclipse, about your event, about Rochester, anything like that?
Right. They should head to visitrochester.com. You'll find all of the information there. You'll find where to get hotels, what restaurants to go to, because everybody is all in on this. You need to saturate yourself in it all weekend long.
I love it. Ladies, thank you so much for sharing. We're going to continue to talk about this because this is like doesn't happen all the time. By the way, before you hang up, how often do these total solar eclipses happen?
An eclipse happens somewhere on Earth once every 18 months to 2 years, but it's mostly over water. So it's relatively rare to have it happen over land, and it's even more rare to have it happen twice in, like, say, United States in 7 years. So this is a big deal.
Yeah, there won't be another one in the continental U.S. for 21 years. So this is your shot to get into the path.
Oh, this is totally my spot. I might not be alive in 21 years. I might not be alive tomorrow. You never know.
One does.
You'll be here on April 8th.
Yes, please come. We'll treat you right here in Rochester.
All right. I'm counting on it. Next phone call after the show's over is to my husband.
All right,
ladies, thank you. Listeners, more information. One more time. Give that website.
Visit Rochester.com.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Can't wait to see you.
Thanks, Carol.
So that was a pre-recorded segment that I did last week, and I just wanted to get it in on our Time to Get Away show. And my husband and I actually were planning a trip after this interview. We were planning a trip to go. We were already planning to go to New York, but we were changing the date so that we could encompass the eclipse with that. Unfortunately, life exists and circumstances have happened, and the trip that we were planning after I did that interview last week now has to be rescheduled because of, like I said, circumstances. But I do know that some good friends of mine are going to Texas, because Texas is considered one of the best places to see the eclipse for viewing. So there's a good chance that the skies will be clearer there. And its location along the southern part of the pass means that the eclipse is totally going to be a little bit longer. So I'm going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to come back and talk about just a little bit more about the eclipse, just a second or two, because I want to talk about my girl coming up, my chef, and talking about eggs, because it is Easter coming up this weekend. We'll be right back. You're listening to Tell Me More with Carol Holloway.
Hi, this is Carol Holloway from Home Improvement Fix and Facts. Listen to me live every Tuesday morning from 8 to 9 right here at WWDB. And if you can't listen live, make sure you go to WWDBAM.com and listen to my podcast. Each week, we will give you great ideas on how to fix your home and some facts on how to put it all together. In the middle of our streets,
our house. Hello, this is Erin, and I have a very important message. If you or a loved one is suffering with any sort of crisis, there is no need to do it alone. Dial the 988 Suicide and Crisis Hotline, where trained professionals will handle your case and get you the help you need any day, anytime. All reports are fully confidential. Dial 988, and a responder will do everything they can to assist you. Remember, if you see something, say something. You may just be saving someone's life. Remember, 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Hotline.
It was a total eclipse of the sun. Total eclipse of the sun.
Okay, we are back. That was Don McLean, believe it or not. That's a cool song, actually. So for those of you that can't get out on April 8th to see the full total eclipse of the sun, you have to wait 21 years. The next one will be August 23rd, 2044. So if you want to get do something fun, I mean, that's what all this is about, finding a place to rest, relax, enjoy, have fun. I'm giving you so many great things to do. But for those of you that are going to be home and not going anywhere, you know, we do have the Easter holiday coming up, or whatever holiday you may celebrate at this time of year. And I just wanted to share with you some fun stuff, because what would Easter be without, you know, Easter eggs and being able to celebrate the holiday? So joining us in our upcoming segment right now will be moving the eggs from the basket to the table. And like I said, I have James Beard, award-winning chef, Patty Ganesh here, and she's going to share with us a little bit about some of the things that we can do to make it a little bit more fun during the holiday, instead of just having tons of hard-boiled eggs sitting on our table during this time of year. So let's have some fun with the Easter holiday, and let's bring Patty on board and find out what she has to offer us for eggs.
Hi, Chef Patty. Thank you for joining us. Oh my goodness. It's so nice to talk to you.
Oh, thank you for having me. Thank you. Thank you for giving me this space. I'm delighted.
Absolutely. I am excited to talk to you because Easter is a holiday that's celebrated by so many different cultures. And I find eggs to be, well, even though the price has been going up, one of the least expensive things that you can make a lot of things out of. So thinking outside of the box here, let's talk about eggs. Do you agree they're pretty versatile?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I'm obsessed to eggs. I love eggs so much. I've written ode to eggs. I think I have eggs every morning for breakfast. I think, you know, they're incredibly versatile. My choice is Eggland's Best, because not only are they versatile, but they're packed with nutrients, much more than ordinary eggs. And they just make everything better. They make omelets, frittatas, fluffier, cakes richer, even albondigas or meatballs, you know, more pillowy. And as you were saying, eggs are one of the most accessible and versatile ingredients, and you can use them from breakfast to dinner, you know, scrambled eggs, frittata, you know, pasta.
Yeah, for sure.
Of course.
So as a chef, it's really important to have a well-stocked kitchen. So what are some of the staples we should have? Definitely eggs. And why?
Well, this is such a great question. You know, my pantry is like my treasure trove. There are a few things I just can't do without. And it's important to start with the essentials, like your oils, your vinegars, then, of course, rice and beans, tangos like chipotles in adobo sauce, which we really can't have enough of at home, and flour and sugar for baking. But really at the top of my list are, you know, as we were saying, Eggman's Best Eggs, because they're my go-to for pretty much everything. They're versatile, packed with more nutrients than ordinary eggs, which is a huge plus in my book. They are just so useful in so many ways, from breakfast to dinner. And right next to them, you will find fresh tomatoes, ripe avocados, of course, fresh and dried chiles. Can't live without them. And some spices, like of late, I've been using a lot of cumin seeds and dried oregano.
So you said something I'm going to touch back on. You said Eggland's Best have more nutrients. How is it that they have more nutrients than, say, the farmer down the street's eggs?
I know. This is fascinating. You know, Eggland's Best eggs have 6 times more vitamin D, 25% less saturated fat, and 10 times more vitamin E compared to ordinary eggs. And they're just, I know. It's quite fascinating.
Yeah, I don't know how they do that. But you know, one thing that's really great having an author here that's done 3 cookbooks, you have got to have some family traditions and things that you do, especially during the Easter holiday. And, you know, we all have our favorite dishes, and some families do pass them down from generation to generation. Tell us about some of your traditions.
We do. We have so many traditions at home. And I think that, I mean, they all revolve around food. My kids are always requesting the same enchiladas or chilaquiles. But I think when I think of this time of year and Easter, I think of sweet things. And one of my sweetest memories, and it's not only memory, it's something that I keep alive to this day, is a panque marmoleado, or a marble pancake that's chocolate and vanilla. It's comforting, it's fudgy, it's chocolatey. It's something that my mom grew up eating when she was little. It's something that I grew up eating at my mom's when I was little. And it's something that I continue to make for my boys. And it is just something that you can make year-round or also for Easter. But another thing that is great to have this time of year is a tres leches cake, because it's something that you can make ahead of time, put in the refrigerator, and then it just keeps on getting better as it sits. It's like Mexico's version of tiramisu. It's refreshing, but sweet, delightful, indulgent.
You realize, Patty, as you say these names in Spanish, I can't even begin to repeat them. I might have to re-listen to this just to even try to get the names of the food you're talking about. Oh, my goodness.
It's so amazing that you're saying that, because I feel like Mexican food and Mexican ingredients and Mexican dishes have slowly but surely made their way into mainstream, like into the mainstream culinary lingo. So, for example, guacamole or guac or tacos or dulce de leche or tres leches cake. I feel like soon enough, you know, this is all just going to be part of our vocabulary.
And sounds like great food. I love the cake recipe for sure. You know, if we had television, you would have cooked a bunch of things for our listeners to see. But since we're not, what are some things that you would have, that you would put out on your table besides the marble cake that sounds so delicious?
Well, and actually do have it right here in front of me. I made a Mexican frittata with poblano chiles, potatoes, and queso fresco, and it is filling, it's light, is great to make, because you can make it and serve it in the same skillet, so it's just very accessible, and you can feed a lot of people. It's not high maintenance, because you can eat it hot or lukewarm as well, and if you have leftovers, you can make a frittata torta or baguette, you know, so it's amazing. And then I also have right next to it an almond tres leches cake, which is nutty, it's rich, it has a tangy layer of apricot jam in between the cake layers, and it has crunchy almonds. And both of these recipes have Eggland's Best Eggs, which just makes the food yummier and better for your guests and friends because it's packed with much more nutrients.
Okay, now, for a lot of our families, they do the Easter egg hunt, they boil the eggs, they put them in the basket. Hard-boiled eggs, deviled eggs are kind of a staple around this time of year. What's the proper way to boil eggs?
Oh my gosh, this is such a great question. Okay, so I've done it many ways, but the way that I have been doing it of late, which really works, is you put your eggs in your saucepan, cover them with water, and once the water comes to a strong boil, like a rolling boil, you cover your pan, turn off the heat, and just let them sit there and cook for 10 minutes. That's it. It's super easy. And then I'm also obsessed with deviled eggs. And the way I make my deviled eggs is once the eggs are ready, I take out the yolk and I mix the yolk with a little mayo and chipotles in adobo sauce and chopped pickled jalapenos. And they're so good.
Sounds good. I'm getting hungry. you know, we're seeing that egg prices have come down quite a bit. They're still a little bit higher than normal, but they are just a great staple. Do you use them? I only have like a minute left, but do you use them for breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
I use them for everything. For breakfast in a thousand ways, you know, huevo ranchero, scrambled, omelets, frittatas, hard-boiled, soft-boiled, sunny side up, over chilaquiles, and in every possible way. For lunch, I will make my big brunch enchiladas. I will make a frittata. I will use them for like quiches. For dinner as well, I'll make a chopped egg salad sandwich, or I'll make, you know, a tuna niçoise or a salpicón with hard-boiled eggs. It's just an ingredient that just drives with you throughout the day and the week.
Absolutely. And one of your books before I have to let you go is called Local Secrets. Before I have to let you go, can you tell our listeners one of the local secrets from where you are from?
Of course. So my latest book, which I was lucky enough to have it be a New York Times bestseller, it took me 4 years to write. It's called Treasures of the Mexican Table. And it has local secrets from all over Mexico. It really tries to get to the DNA of the foods that are beloved in different communities throughout the country, whereas in a state or a community or a small region. And oh my gosh, trying to pick a favorite from there, but I have so many.
Okay, so we have to buy the book.
Yes, please do. Please do.
Patty, Chef Patty, being the wonderful person that you are, and Emmy nominated, written so many books, let's tell our listeners where they can go for more information.
Of course, you can find these recipes that I talked about and more at egglandsbest.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Come back next year when you have more stuff to share with us with eggs and anything else.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me today.
You're welcome. Appreciate your time. Bye-bye. Happy holidays.
Bye. Thank you.
And because I am out of time, you're going to have to listen next week when I tell you why Eggland's Best Eggs are better for you than regular eggs. I am so out of time. Words of wisdom for today. Travel makes you modest. See what a tiny place you occupy in the world. That's a quote from Gustavo Flaubert. And make it a great week. Pay it forward. And we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.